So I've been thinking about communion, and we think of it as an event, and you know we observe communion, but the only reason we can observe communion as an event is because communion exists, right? So when we have the Lord's Supper, we take that together, and we enter into communion. We can only do that because we have communion. We have common union, and are bound by that we have in common. Kind of like when we have conference, our first item is to ask and inquire for the peace of the church. And if the church is at peace, then we can take care of our business. If we're not at peace, you would have to deal with that first. And so anytime we're able to go into communion, it's because we have communion. And there's some beautiful things in the scripture about that aspect particularly. I want to consider with you probably two or three different places this morning. We can start in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians with a pastoral zeal and concern for them. And we'll pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, some people would read that like you're not supposed to marry somebody that's an unbeliever. The Apostle Paul goes on record other places, I think, to the contrary, the blessing that a believer can be to an unbeliever. I don't think we need to seek out conflict in our life. We could be with believers. That's great. But here he's speaking to a congregation and says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Right? So he doesn't say, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's not an individual lesson. It's a congregational lesson. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And what would make you unequally yoked, or what ought to make you unequally yoked with unbelievers, is that you're a believer and they're an unbeliever. That's why it would be an unequal yoke. So if you flip that around, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, what a blessing it is to be equally yoked with believers, right? So that your common union, your communion, and your fellowship could be in what you share in your belief. And we know that a lot of conflict arises when people don't agree. You know, there's things we don't talk about at the family reunion, right? There's a few things that just too divisive, right? We live in a country that's very divisive, and it's probably not a great plan to just get a bunch of contrary people together in close proximity, right? And just have at it. That doesn't go very well. It's not very pretty to behold. But there's something nice and something peaceful and something, there's some consolation that comes in being equally yoked with believers. And this isn't that, you know, you have to find somebody that agrees with everything. That's, we've said before, the way that this works, the way that we can be like-minded, is not that you have to agree with me or that I have to agree with you. It's if you have the mind of Christ and I have the mind of Christ, then we'll be agreed. And in that case, it's not even so wonderful, Brother Michael, that we agree with each other. It's if you agree with the Lord and I agree with the Lord, that's a wonderful place to start. But if you agree with the Lord, I agree with the Lord, then almost just automatically, like by law of nature, if A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C, right? So I thought I was going to mess that up. You're watching me very careful, I can tell. That's really the key, is not that we've got to get these desperate or disparate ideas and get them aligned. It's that we have the great standard in Christ Jesus. But here, there's what we'll find in the next two or three verses. I want you to read along with me, if you have your Bible, or listen along. See if you can find words that mean together. Okay? Words that mean agreed, together. And if I say any more, I'll start listening along. But let's just read and see what it says. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's a lot of words in there that sound like they pretty much mean the same thing, right? And what we find in each of those words that's held up for us, there then is a contrast, Brother Dole, of two things that wouldn't agree, two things that couldn't commune, two things that wouldn't walk together. Remember Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Or can two walk together except they be agreed? So fellowship, how can you have fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness? Okay, if these words all just meant coincidence, okay, or co-location, okay, you could have two things sitting next to one another, right? You could have a good piece of fruit sitting next to a rotten piece of fruit, okay? And what happens is, after a while, they're both rotten, okay? But this isn't just a co-location. Okay? There's something more than just being in the same place at the same time. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, these are rhetorical questions that I trust you know the answer to, right? Is none. The answer is none. The reason why the answer is none is righteousness and unrighteousness, they're pointed away from one another. Okay, there's not like mixing righteousness and unrighteousness. So fellowship is founded on this idea that you're not taking two opposing things and causing them to fellowship. They have something in common, and they're inclined the same way, and that's how they have fellowship. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Answers, none. Right? Can you serve those gods and serve the living God? That's what the children of Israel had done when they went into the promised land. They didn't do as the Lord had said, which it seemed unreasonable to them what the Lord had said, that they would kill those people that were in that land, and that they would not go after their gods, and they wouldn't marry their daughters and give their daughters to be married to their sons. But there was consequence for that disobedience, and they found that they were serving these other gods that were in the land. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's kind of like we talked about righteousness and unrighteousness. This is believing and unbelieving. There's no accord between them. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And unfortunately, there was a time when there were idols set up around and within the temple of God. There's times even in this New Testament where they were selling sacrifices, right? Even in the porch. But what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now, what this says is that you as a temple means that you are a dwelling place, and that the Lord has set himself to dwell not just with you, but in you. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, those unbelievers that we don't want to be unequally yoked with. Be ye separate. Okay? I thought everything we read was about being together, right? Fellowship, concord, agreement, communion. And this says to be separate. Well, we're not to be separated from one another. We're to be separated from the unequal yoke that we would have with unbelievers. So think, if you were the only one that God had saved, okay, you would be given this instruction to separate yourself from others. But when you separated yourself from others, you would be alone in that. Okay? With two great exceptions. One is, God said, you're my temple. And so I will dwell not just with you, but in you. I'll walk in you. That's pretty active, right? Not just like hang out. Like, I'll move within you. And not only do we have that, we have the fellowship and the communion of the saints. And it says, I'll be a father unto you, you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I want to look at two other passages of Scripture and be mindful of the time with the service that we have coming before. But just to set your minds to this, there in those verses we see fellowship and communion as synonyms, right? So we go to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, this is the Apostle John speaking to a beloved congregation of people, and it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. So the Apostle John here is saying that that they've declared unto the church is something in which we can have fellowship. And we'll turn to another place in Acts chapter 2 to see how actionable our fellowship really can and should be. But we declare these unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And then there's a beautiful truth tacked onto that verse. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Remember what we just read in 1 Corinthians? Is there any fellowship between light and dark? So that's a great companion text to put next to this one. We saw him and we told you what we've seen. We heard him and we told you what we heard. This is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and that's important. Do you say that you have fellowship with God? We should say that. We should feel that I have fellowship with God. That's what that song says. It is I'm here. I'm in your midst. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay? Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? What accord is there between Christ and Belial? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, but also we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, one other place I want to go, and then we'll make ready for our communion service this morning. But in Acts chapter 2, this is early in the New Testament church history. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles is essentially a chronicling of what was happening as the New Testament church was really gaining its footing. And my father in the ministry, Elder Hewlin Bass, used to say that this day of Pentecost is when the great ship of Zion, when the Lord breathed a breath of grace into her sails, right, and set her sailing. What a beautiful picture that the Lord had built the church and then he put wind in her sails. That's a nice parallel to the way he created you, right? You were formed of the clay and you were a human being, but you had no life until he breathed life into you. He's done that for the church itself. And here in Acts chapter 2, after a lot of beautiful things that bring us to this, we get to verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word." And again, most of the songs we sang this morning just seemed about a gladness of heart and a joy. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, what I'll tell you about that day when 3,000 people were added to the church, that day there were 3,000 such as should be saved. Right? Mm-hmm. Is this the way the Lord works? Okay? He's never moved more or less than he would move upon at that time. And this day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, now what do you think the they is? 3,000 plus those that were already the church, right? So, and there weren't more than 3,000 before the 3,000 were added. So it was a small number, maybe 120, okay? And then were added to them 3,000 souls. Now, if you're a group of 120 and you add 12 people, that's 10%. That can move your culture, okay? But to be 120 and then 3,000 souls brought in, instantly. How do you think that would go without the blessed grace and favor of God? Can you imagine if 30 people showed up and joined Little Vine today? Like, we're like, wow, well, welcome. Who are these people? Where did they come from? 3,000 souls added to the church. And here's what we find. They, all the church together, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. How many? Every one of them. It was like they had that in common. Right? Like the Lord delivered something to every one of them. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Which means that day there were 3,000 added, but Sister Stephanie, I think other days came when he added some more. Right? And what you would hope is every time that some were added, that the same things were happening, that they together, right? Like, not just the 120, not 120 plus the 3,000. Right? We have something that happens in life today, certainly within companies, where you're like, well, I was here from the beginning. Like, you just got here. Let me tell you how it works around here. Right? That's not how it is in the kingdom. Right? It's a blessing of those that are added daily, and those that are added are such as should be saved, which means the Lord is doing this, Brother Michael, to save them, which means he's given you a home in the church because he had a loving care over you to save you. There's a salvation that comes in the fellowship that we have together in the church. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians and close our remarks with one thing there at the end of 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. And again, thinking about this fellowship and communion that we have with God and the fellowship and the communion that we have with one another that allows us to enter into the fellowship of the communion service. As the Apostle Paul is closing the letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, in verse 11 it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." That kind of sounds like, fear not, it is I. Right? Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You know what's beautiful about that last verse is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right there. Right? Which means God didn't just dispatch someone to have fellowship with you. He has fellowship with you. And he has fellowship with you as the Father, and he has fellowship with you as the Son, and he has fellowship with you as the Holy Ghost. And what this says, and there's a beautiful attribute that's attributed to each of these persons in the Godhead, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what they said about Jesus Christ? How gracious were the words that proceeded out of his mouth. Never a man spake like this man spake. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Because God's loved you from before the foundation of the world. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and then right here where we live, we've got the grace and we have the love and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Which means we're in agreement. We have fellowship. We have accord. We're part together with the Holy Spirit. And just as God had promised, I will dwell in them. I will walk around in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a vertical relationship where he's our God and we're his people. But you know what it didn't say? It didn't say, I'll be his God and he'll be my person. Or I'll be her God and she'll be my person. It says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. What a blessing we have in fellowship and communion. Not just to be a person, but to be of a people. Not to be alone, but to be in a communion of fellowship with our brothers and our sisters and what a privilege it is for us to serve God, and that we can do that while serving one another. God bless you. We'll make our transition to our communion service, make preparation for that, and we'll continue.